Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Yeah, so this Florida man is actually a priest, and he bit a churchgoer while trying to receive Holy Communion. It's a very, very odd story, but police are investigating an incident that unfolded at a Catholic church on Sunday where a priest allegedly bit a churchgoer because she was trying to receive the Holy Communion in an improper way. It took place at St. Thomas Aquinas Church, and they filed an affidavit of prosecution summary against the priest, which will be forwarded to the state attorney's office for review. The priest refused to give her the communion and gave her a blessing instead, saying she didn't follow the proper steps necessary to receive Holy Communion. And then I guess something happened and she tried to take it, and that led to the priest biting her, I guess. But the woman shoved the priest and then grabbed the bowl that contained the communion wafers and then tried to eat them. And then the priest considered it to be sacrilegious, so he bit her. He said, I recognize that I bit her. I'm not denying that. And they have the video of it. And then, you know, it was sort of a disaster. Anyway, you don't see that every day. You know, biting priests. You just don't see that every day. A Florida man chugs a beer in front of the cops after throwing bottles off the balcony, according to deputies. This was in Fort Myers Beach. A Florida man was arrested after staff at the Margaritaville Resort in Fort Myers Beach told deputies he was throwing beer bottles off a fourth-floor balcony over the weekend. According to an arrest report from the Lee County Sheriff's Office, 23-year-old Connor Thurman, whose room is located just above the hotel's valet parking area, threw a beer bottle from his balcony around 1:30 a.m. When the officials tried to knock on his door, a security guard had to yell to him. He was sitting on his balcony. And then he chugged a beer in front of the cops because, I mean, what are you going to do? Let the beer go to waste? Of course not. So you got to chug it. I mean, what are you going to, I mean, that's, I mean, duh. And finally, this Florida man steals a vehicle and then calls the owner before getting busted. Yeah, this genius, he actually called her to report the theft. He stole the car and let the woman know that he stole it. Which I think is very considerate. If you're going to steal a car, could you at least be kind and considerate enough to just, you know, let the owner know? My favorite thing just happened a moment ago. The special counsel who's going after Hunter Biden, they are going to use the laptop as a trial exhibit. And this is the statement they put out. The defendant's laptop is real. It will be produced as a trial exhibit, and it contains significant evidence of the defendant's guilt. Boom. Wait a second. That's weird, though, because I thought that laptop was Russian disinformation. That's what they told me. They told me that. They told you this, too. Let's see if the tweet's still up. I bookmarked this. Yes. Jen Psaki, 10:45 p.m., October 19th, 2020. Hunter Biden's story is Russian disinfo, dozens of former intel officials say. Jen Psaki, who now is a journalist. That was the best the other day. She was at a thing and she described herself as a journalist. And the crowd started laughing. Like you're a journalist? Just as unbiased as George Stephanopoulos is. So the Hunter Biden laptop that you were told at one point was Russian disinformation. And if you try to talk about it, it was censored. It was censored by all the big tech, corporate media. Everybody censored it. The New York Post story couldn't share it. And for a year or so, they kept telling you it was Russian disinformation. That laptop is now going to be used as evidence because it contains significant evidence of the defendant's guilt. I love that. The irony of this is just fantastic. The DOJ is going to use the Hunter Biden laptop as evidence in the trial. Now, this is just the gun case. This one's not as bad for Joe Biden. It's the financial case in September. That's the one that I think has the tendency, the potential to bring down the big guy. Because you know and I know, everybody knows that Joe Biden's implicated in all this. That's why they wanted the financial crimes to all go away, and they tried to roll it into the gun diversion agreement. This way, it would all go away, and the judge couldn't reject it. The judge outsmarted them, and that's why we're here today. So, getting back to this point about Joe Biden and his candidacy, you're going to have the Democrat National Convention in August in Chicago. You're going to have protests there. You're going to have all these crazy college kids protesting, all these crazy anti-Israel people protesting. You're going to have a president who can barely speak and barely read the teleprompter get up on stage and accept his party's nomination. He's down in the polls. He's at 38% approval rating. He's losing in every single swing state. There's only two debates with a chance to turn it around for him. And you know as well as I do, he's not going to perform well in either of the debates. And then his son goes on trial for financial crimes, in which case he could be implicated in those crimes heading into the general election and the ultimate October surprise. Are the Democrats really, really going to keep Joe Biden on the ballot? I mean, come on. Come on. Come on. And I know that the guy, look, he's a stubborn old guy. He's a stubborn old man. He's a stubborn Irish guy, as he always says. And it's not that easy to get rid of somebody with an ego like his. He's got a massive ego. And how do you do it? How do you get Joe Biden out of the race? Because that's the question. Well, there's two things that need to happen. The first is you have to get rid of Kamala Harris, because the Kamala Harris problem has always been Joe Biden's Achilles heel. Kamala Harris is less popular than Joe Biden is, if you can believe that. She gets crushed by Donald Trump, in my opinion. Crushed. Her record alone as the attorney general in California prosecuting black people for drug crimes will further hurt the chances of the Democrats with the African-American vote in the fall. So she's a terrible candidate. So you have to deal with her first, because if Biden steps aside and you don't nominate Kamala Harris, well, then woke's going to be very upset. And at the convention, you can't risk the fact that she's able to rally and get the nomination. So all this has to be controlled. The Democrats want to see Justice Sonia Sotomayor off the Supreme Court because they're really worried Trump's going to win and replace her. The other day, I think it was David Plouffe, one of those guys from the Obama administration, they were all talking on Pod Save America, and they were saying, you know, Trump could appoint 4 or 5 justices if he gets a second term. 4 or 5 justices if he gets back in the White House. They're terrified of that. So they want Sonia Sotomayor to go now so that they can replace her with somebody who's a lefty. Well, there's your opportunity. You convince her to go. You put Kamala Harris on the Supreme Court, and then now you can replace Joe Biden without having to worry about Kamala Harris, and you solve that problem. The second thing you have to do is convince the crotchety old man that he can win. You have to. His ego is massive. Joe Biden has a massive ego. You got to convince him. Well, he could win. The question, though, Mr. President, is, do you really want to be implicated in all of your son's crimes? Do you want your son to have to go through this? Or you could pardon him and save him a trial, putting your son first and then you as a dad first over your political future, and then say you're not going to run for re-election. Because you just can't risk your son using again. And you have the power to do it. But you also know that it's not politically the smart thing to do. But you don't care. You have to save your son. And then your legacy will be preserved, and we can go on about what a great dad you are. Blah, 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 blah. So then he pardons Hunter. He gets out of the race. The trial of Hunter Biden does not happen. Joe Biden's not implicated. It's over. The Biden crime family, they get to enjoy their money and nobody can touch them. Statute of limitations have expired. Hunter Biden's been pardoned. It's over. It all goes away. And then they swap him out. That's how this could play out. And it's not easy. It's not easy to get rid of a guy with Biden's massive megalomaniac ego. And he thinks the polls are wrong, and he's got people around him who I guess are telling him the polls are wrong, and so they're living in this fantasy world. Nate Silver's point is the polls are not wrong. Like, these polls are not wrong. And whenever somebody's winning in the polls, they say the polls are right. When somebody's losing in the polls, they say the polls are wrong. Carville said the same thing. James Carville said the same thing. He said the polls are not wrong, and we got to stop pretending like they're wrong. Like, stop. He's losing.
Our partners over at Kel-Tec, American-made, Florida origin, Florida, born and bred. Well, yeah, I mean, they're made in America and based in Florida. And I love the story behind Kel-Tec. It's like one of the most all-American stories ever. You have a guy who immigrates to the United States. He's born in Sweden, George Kellgren, and establishes Kel-Tec in 1991. And has been making some really innovative stuff ever since. You've seen a lot of it in different movies and on my wall here in the studio. But a very, very innovative designer and always quality. And their Sub 2K Gen 3, this is just one example. This is the one that's been shipping. That's an upgraded version I have the Gen 2. The Gen 3, this is a 9mm carbine that you can just straight up fold in half. Just twist, fold right in half. But you don't have to take your optics off anymore. No detaching out the optics to do that. It folds with the optics all attached. You don't have to mess with it. And they've also lightened the action for easy racking. You have an ambidextrous bolt hold open, redesigned trigger as well for a lightened 5-pound pull. All quality made right here in America, in Florida. America needs more all-American stories like Kel-Tec and more companies like Kel-Tec. See, just not just the Gen 3, but the KSG, everything that they have to offer at KelTecWeapons.com, and be sure to follow them on social media. Sign up for that Kel-Tec Insider so you can get heads up on all their new products. K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
1,400 packages of meth weighing almost 6 tons and worth $18 million were found in a squash shipment. That's right, squash, as in like the horrible vegetable. Anyway, he crossed the border and CBP officials found and they discovered all this, about 1,400 packages of methamphetamine concealed within the shipment of squash, with the total weight of the narcotics being about 11,500 pounds, a street value of about $18,500,000. There you go. Look at that. Huh? You thought you were just getting a horrible vegetable. A mom was fined $88,000 after her kids collected 72 clams from a California beach thinking they were seashells. This is California. $80,000 worth of fines because their kids were out there doing what kids always do in the summer when they're on a beach and collect seashells. The mom said it made me really sad and depressed and it kind of ruined our trip. She said the whole experience taught her children and her valuable lessons about wildlife regulations. She received a fine in the mail ordering her to pay $88,993 before a San Luis Obispo judge. Now, I got to tell you, kids should not have to worry about wildlife regulations when they're on vacation, okay? They should just be able to be kids. The judge knocked the fine down to $500. Good for the judge. Hiker mauled by grizzly in Grand Teton National Park played dead. And the bear won't be pursued. That's what you always do. If you, there's always that question of would you rather be stuck in the woods? This went viral with a man or a bear. And mostly they were asking women this question. For me, I'd rather be stuck in the woods with a bear because I can kill a bear with my bear. I've done it before. But if you ever have to fight one, play dead. That's typically what they tell you. And good luck. And remember, if you're with two people, you don't have to outrun the bear. You just have to outrun your friend. Anger does a lot more damage to your body than you realize. This is a study that came out. Anger is really bad. And one thing that it can do is it can raise the risk of heart attacks because it impairs the functioning of blood cells. So don't get angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Don't let it happen to you. Now, you know who's not angry? Housekeepers in Palm Beach. They're making $150,000 a year due to massive demand from the wealthy. Housekeepers, $1.50 a year. Pretty good. I'll tell you, if this radio thing doesn't work out, and it's probably not going to work out, I'm just saying. And lastly, I mentioned this earlier, but it's worth repeating. CNN sees their lowest weekly primetime ratings among key demographic since 1991. Amazing.
African Americans are getting slaughtered. Hispanic Americans are getting slaughtered. And these millions and millions of people that are coming into our country, the biggest impact and the biggest negative impact is against our black population and our Hispanic population, who are losing their jobs, losing their housing, losing everything they can lose.
That's right. That was President Trump yesterday, future President Trump yesterday in the South Bronx. Welcome back to the Dana Show. It's me, Rich Zeoli from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in Philadelphia. You can follow along on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. So this idea of African-Americans, Hispanic-Americans impacted the most by illegal immigration. It's true. They're losing their jobs. They're seeing crime surge. In New York, they got to watch as illegal immigrants get prepaid debit cards. They have to watch as their community centers are closed so they can house illegal immigrants. They've got to watch as all these things are occurring, and meanwhile, they're struggling. Now, how do some of the Bronx voters and residents feel about things that are going on? Well, first of all, let's start with this. This is a Bronx voter who said, I've been a Democrat all my life. And Donald Trump, you know, he's got the right answers. Imagine that. Cut 12.
You said you've always voted Democrat, but this yes. year it's going to change. Why is that?
Because I've seen the change go for the worse.
With the Bidenomics, with the Democratic Party, I've been Democrat all my life. And Donald Trump, he just has the right answers. He's speaking on illegal immigration, all the money pouring out of the country, people losing their jobs, the economy is failing. And at 60 years old, I realize now that we have to support Donald Trump and make things better.
Got to support Donald Trump and make things better. He's 60 years old. Hey, listen, better late than never, it's what I say. Welcome to the party, pal. Welcome to the party. But AOC is not happy about this. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's not from the Bronx, she's not Sandy from the block, as much as she likes to pretend she is. She's from the streets. She's not. She's from a very, very prestigious area outside of the Bronx in Westchester County. Very, very affluent area. But it's okay. You know, she likes to pretend like she's keeping it real in the streets. Well, what do they think? What do Bronx residents think about AOC? Does she even understand the struggle? Cut 13.
Where are you from?
The Bronx, actually.
I'm originally from the Bronx and from New York.
I'm from the Bronx.
Right here in the Bronx, New York. This is home, right here.
AOC says if you're not a Democrat, you don't belong here in the Bronx. Right. What do you say?
I disagree with that.
I don't think she should be here in the Bronx. I actually don't know any Democrats living in the Bronx.
Look, AOC, look at the tremendous support for Mr. Donald J. Trump.
You need to tell her that she needs to stay out the Bronx because look at all the people around. Everybody's here for Trump.
I am a Democrat. And I belong here.
And who are you voting for?
Donald J. Trump.
What has AOC done for the Bronx?
She's done nothing for the Bronx. Nothing. Nothing's changed. Nothing's gotten any better.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Let her come to the Bronx and let her come among us people that struggle. She doesn't even know what struggle is.
She doesn't even know what struggle is. Obviously, there was a montage of residents, but the last one at the end, I love that. She doesn't even know what the struggle is. Of course she doesn't. She has no idea. Sandy from the block has no idea what the struggles were like. And this is a bigger crowd than Democrats would like to see. Even CNN had to admit that. Even CNN. And they're not happy about it. Now, in their defense, nobody heard them say this because nobody's watching CNN. No, really, they are at their lowest numbers ever. I mean, even worse than when the Lester Cuomo was on the network. It's that bad. CNN's numbers are terrible. And they're just getting worse. I mean, I saw this story as a CNN sees lowest weekly primetime ratings among key demographics since 1991. Across all demos, the network recorded just 494,000 viewers. CNN. You remember the time, the day and age of Wolf Blitzer's beard when it was in its glory? Everybody tuned into CNN to watch OJ and the Bronco, the plane that went missing. Storms, but since then, CNN has never been able to gain a footing. And the problem is because they're MSNBC light. Let's face it. If you really hate Trump and you hate Republicans, you're going to tune into MSNBC because they at least go all in. CNN hates Trump too, but they still kind of pretend. And they do that pretend thing like, oh, we're up the middle. We call it up the middle. No, you don't. Stop. You can't be MSNBC light and expect to draw from MSNBC. And most of those numbers are probably because people are stuck at airports having to watch CNN. But anyway, this is what they said, cut 14.
What was the crowd like and what kind of response did he get?
Well, certainly a bigger crowd than I think Democrats would like to see, particularly given this is one of the bluest counties in the entire country. Now, one of the things that was interesting to me is that the Trump campaign said that they were going to micro-target to get people from the community to come to this rally. I wasn't sure what to expect. I've gone to a lot of these rallies across the country, and there are often people who travel hundreds of miles to see Donald Trump, and they're not necessarily part of the community. However, one of the things that I found was that there were a lot of people here that were actually from the Bronx.
Ooh, that's not good. People from the Bronx actually came to see Donald Trump? That doesn't make any sense. I thought the only people that liked Trump were in Alabama and Montana and the woods, shining their weapons and buying Cabela's fishing hats. I mean, I can't believe this. By the way, speaking of weapons, Hunter is in his pretrial hearing in the gun case. Nate Silver, who's a pollster, thinks that Joe Biden should consider dropping out of the race for president. That's how bad Joe Biden's poll numbers are. Nate Silver, he said, replacing Biden at the last minute is a risky idea.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.